Morning and welcome back to Nachyomi. Today we're going to be learning together Koheles Perek Tes, the ninth chapter in Megillas Koheles. Our Perek has 18 psukim, and the general theme is inevitability and the role of action. We're going to look at it in five micro sections and try to consider each section in one question per section. The first section is the first two psukim, Aleph to Beis. In this section, it describes how everything is under the control of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Everything is underneath His control, B'yad HaElokim, whether it be people or whether it even be emotions, Gam HaAhava, Gam Sina. And then he describes in the second pasuk, HaKol Kasher LaKol, Mikre Echad LaTzadik V'LaRasha. There's one destination for the righteous and the evildoers. LaTov V'LaTahor V'LaTomei, LaZovech V'LaSher Ninu Zovech, KaTov Kachote HaNishpa Kasher Shavua Yorei. Whether it be a person who is pure or impure, a person who sacrifices or does not sacrifice, a person who is good or a sinner, a person who swears or does not swear, they all have one destination, and of course that means death. So what is Koheles' view of death in general? The Gemara in Shabbos on Daf Nunhei Amud Aleph to Amud Beis discusses this particular issue, and we see a statement in the name of Rav Ami. Rav Ami says a statement which is Ein Misa Beloi Chet. There cannot be death without sin, meaning if a person dies, it must be they did something to warrant that in their lives. And similarly, Ein Yisurin Beloi Avon, there's no suffering in this world without sin. The Gemara questions this statement, and from a number of different angles. And in fact, it describes one of the questions is based on our pasuk, Mikre Echad LaTzadik V'LaRasha, our pasuk itself. And this is, in fact, what the Gemara concludes with. The Gemara actually concludes that since Adam HaRishon brought about Misa, brought about death to the world, that became a factor which was incontrovertible. It became a reality in this world that whether or not a human being deserves death, they will die. And therefore, it is inevitable and it is not something which is brought about based on specific actions. The Gemara goes through a number of different options. Moshe Rabbeinu, the four people who didn't sin, and so on and so forth. There are a number of different options the Gemara raises. But in the end, the Gemara concludes that what he is describing is that we are in the system, we're in the grid. And the grid has been changed, that there's one destination for them all. So now, if we think about that, that sounds a little depressing. So what are we supposed to learn from that? So, okay, so we're all going to die and there's no way out. So what do we learn from that? Rashi says, so therefore, because we're all intended for the same 6 feet under, so what that matters is that we only have a very short span of time to make good decisions, to make it count for there afterwards. Because clearly, if we're all going to one destination, whether you're good or bad, then ultimately what counts must be after that. And for what counts is after that, it depends on what we do during this. Therefore, make a good life. So as opposed to being an oblique reference to a very depressing world ahead, it is in fact a very, we'll call it uplifting perspective about action. The Talmud of Chochma explains that since all the souls in the world were generated from both Adam and Chava, meaning to say, so to speak, they were the material from which, the spiritual, emotional, physical material for which all of humanity was generated, and inside of them was a mix of good and bad because of the sin they decided to make. So therefore, in all of humanity, in all of those different, we'll call it little netzotzos, these little sparks throughout all of history, there's good and bad, there's different pieces, and each of those little pieces of primordial human being, primordial couple, needs to go through a process of correction, which is why in this world, in a certain sense, all of them need to die, because they're going through the same process of tikkun, whether they're a good piece or a bad piece or a complex piece of the original Adam and Chava, which is going through this process. There's a certain, this is a very deep Kabbalistic idea of the certain tikkun that the world is going, which is why this end destination for all of humanity is, in a certain sense, the pulling together of the larger picture of the tikkun of this world, of the fixing of this world. Move into our second section here, which is about the living thinking about the dead, or the dead thinking about the living. And this is from Sukkim Gimel to Vav. In this section, he describes that, in fact, the living are at a disadvantage to the dead. Because Hachayim Yodim Ishayamusu, Those who are alive know that death is inevitable. They don't know anything if you're dead. There's no worry. And there's nothing to worry. Everything they did is forgotten. Their love, their hate, their relationships, all nothing left in this world. So on the one hand, it sounds a little depressing, you know, meaning to say it sounds like, you know, you can live a fabulous life and nobody really thinks about it. I mean, think about it. How many people really know about their great-grandparents or great-great-grandparents? And, you know, if they didn't write a book or didn't, you know, shape a country, there's very little that is left in terms of memory. It is a very depressing thought to think about, which is what he seems to be saying. But it raises a fascinating question, and that is do the dead know what's going on in this world? This is actually a really interesting discussion that happens in the Gemara in Brachos, Daf Yud Ches Amud Aleph to Yud Ches Amud Beis, and it goes on there afterwards as well. The Gemara says that it starts off with an interesting discussion about Rabbi Chiya and Rabbi Yochanan, who are walking in the cemetery. And Rabbi Chiya said to Rabbi Yochanan, "Lift up your tzitzis, because you know what the dead are saying to each other. They'll say lemachar boi kedai shelo yomru lemachar boi nitzlenu va'achshav mechar finasanu." So that people, the dead will feel bad that you're coming back to insult them, but we're doing a mitzvah which they are not able to perform. So the Gemara then jumps into discussion. But wait a second, our pasuk in Kohelet says, "Amesim enu yodei meuma." Those who are dead know nothing about what's going on. So why should they be concerned about this? And the Gemara goes into to describe a number of fascinating options and perspectives here. One option that that the Gemara describes is that it's not referring to those who are alive or dead at all. Rather, Eile Rishayim, those who are dead are referring to the Rishayim, people who are alive, but they live, so to speak, a deadened spiritual life. Then in that case, they don't know anything. I mean, they're walking blindly through this world. Whereas the Tzaddikim, or Kohen Tzaddikim, they do know. That's the one way the Gemara explains it. The Gemara then goes on to discuss another option, is that maybe the dead know and understand the pain they experience as they disintegrate, as they biodegrade, and that's part of the punishment, so to speak, on the physical side. So they can feel that pain, but they can't understand what's going on for others. The Gemara goes on to describe a really fascinating story. Highlights, it talks about a chassid echad, a pious individual who what happened was is that he was very very impoverished, and he gave some stock on Erev Rosh Hashanah. His wife got very upset, and so he went and he went to the Beis HaKvaros, he went to the cemetery, and he heard two souls talking to one another, and they discuss how they're going to go through the world, and they discuss what's going to happen this year. And so they describe that there's going to be this terrible tragedy. There's going to be called Zerubbivius Rishana Borod Malkiosai. If a person is going to plant in the Revia Rishana, that's the first round of planting, it'll be all destroyed by a huge hailstorm. So that's what he did, was he waited off and didn't plant the first time, and everybody else's crops were destroyed and his were not. The next year he went and he did the same thing happened. He went to the cemetery on Rosh Hashanah and he heard them talking, and they said, you know, this year what's going to happen is that there's going to be a shidafon, there's going to be this plague, a blight, which is going to impact the world in the Revia Shnia, the second planting. So he goes and plants in the first one, everybody else from the memory of the last year plants in the second planting, and Eris is destroyed and his remains. His wife realizes something is afoot, and she says, and so she gets the secret from him, part of the conversation he heard was that one of these girls, who was one of the spirits, was buried in Machatzeles Shalkanim, and she reveals the secret. She in a fit of anger with the person in the house, and thereafter, when he went to the cemetery, they responded that their words had been heard, and they did not discuss the future of the year, that Rosh Hashanah. So it seems like from the story that they did know that, in fact, that somebody was overhearing the story, because they heard that somebody revealed the secret of how one of them was buried, and they stopped. And so the whole Gemara's whole discussion, it seems like they do know, and the Gemara said, no, maybe somebody had died who knew and then told them. So if there's intercommunication between the dead and the living, or the dead and the dead, just a fascinating discussion. It all stems from our pasuk over here in Kohelet about the dead. We move on, by the way, just a fascinating extra added point over here, is that if we're thinking about the dead as being not dead, but rather people who are alive, but they're dead because they're spiritually dead, they're Rishayim, so that in a certain sense is why they walk around blindly living a life of indulgence, because they really don't think there's anything else. They're just so blind, they're walking over the ravines of life, of the spiritual ravines, without even looking, because they don't care, that they think that it's just about partying and being merry. Which leads us to the next section, which is Psukim Zayin to Ches. This is a very, very powerful section. It requires just understanding this on so many levels. Leich echol b'simcha lachmecha, go and eat in happiness your bread, ushasei b'lev tov yeinecha, and drink, you know, with a good heart your wine, and wear good clothes, and put ointment on your head. Re'ei simcha im echayim im isha asher ahavta. See life with your wife who you loved. Kol yemei chayei hevelecha. It's just this is all the way to do it, is to enjoy everything that HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave you. What does this actually mean? So Ibn Ezra says that these are actually a null hypothesis. These are the words of the fools who see that death is inevitable. They see that we're trapped in this world. And so they say, well, the only thing we can do is to be a party and be merry. And they think that's must be what Hashem wants from us, because there is nothing else. We're trapped. Rashi says, no, it's the opposite. A tzaddik, a person who realizes that this world is limited, and therefore the person needs to act, because they know that the grace of HaKadosh Baruch Hu is upon them, because they're doing the right thing, can enjoy this world. People who don't think there's any hope will never enjoy it, because they're all in a sort of frenzy to have enjoyment, but they don't really, because they don't really know that there's meaning in their enjoyment, as Rashi says. It is worthwhile noting that on a bigger picture, the Targum, the translation into Aramaic over here, says this is actually a prophecy for the end of days, in the time when HaKadosh Baruch Hu is going to give all those souls that utilize this world correctly. That's when Leich Leich, that you're going to enjoy, so to speak, not just the physical food, but really the spiritual food of the debts of the reward that is accumulated. Move to the fourth section over here, from Psukim Yud Aleph to Yud Beis. In this section, it talks about how everybody's trapped. There's a very descriptive Psukim, as he describes everybody's trapped. The people, those who are fast don't win the race, those who are strong don't win the war, those who are wise don't have bread. Nobody on their own bat is succeeding, because he describes how we're like fish in a trap, we're like birds caught in the net, we're all stuck. What are we supposed to take from this section? So the Ta'ala Umas Chochma explains, this is not so much about being stuck in this world as much as taking advantage of our time. Don't say that we ever, I'll put it off. I have an important spiritual project, something I know is important. I'll do it tomorrow, I'll do it another day, right? Because in the end of the day, you don't always have control of your time. You don't know if it's going to get taken away from you. You don't know if you will have that opportunity. So don't wait for that opportunity. That's what's being described over here. Because a lot of times we simply do not have the wherewithal to do what we had planned or put off to do. So this is against procrastination. And finally, the Perek concludes with a very fascinating story, which is from Psukim Yud Gimel to Yud Ches. This is a story about a city which came under siege, a small village which is under siege by a large king who has a large war host and these war towers and instruments of war. And there's a Ish Misken Chacham, this is poor, weak kind of wise person, and he was able to outwit the king because of his advice. And he says, in the end of the day, look at this poor miskain, this poor wise person. His words weren't heard, but the Dibrei Chacham benachas nishma'im. The words of the wise are heard benachas, quietly. Mizakas Moshel Baksilim. What is going on over here? What is this referring to? So Rav Zer Kavod in his commentary explains that we learn two lessons from the story. Number one is that the small wise man is listened to because of his nachas and his wisdom, more than the king outside beating upon the war drums. Meaning to say, the people of the city were willing to listen and put up a fight because listening to this gentle person, because of his gentleness and his wisdom, than the loud king outside. And in life, sometimes we have to listen to that quieter voice. But there's another lesson learned, and that is that in the end of the day, the story, which we assume is a story of the past, which is recounting, is anonymous. The person who saved the city is not written down in the annals of history. We don't even know his name. So as much as he created a salvation, in the end of the day, he did not create a legacy. Ibn Ezra says that these lessons are self-evident. This is about an actual real occurrence that occurred. This is something which actually happened in history, and we're learning the lessons of it, like Rav Zer Kavod had said. However, the Chomas Anach, the Chida, says that no, this refers not, according to the Gemara in Dorim, not referring to a war, a siege, anything of that sort. It refers to the body and the soul. The body, so to speak, is controlled by this very strong and loud Moshel, which is the Yetzer Hara. The Yetzer Hara, I want to eat this cake, I want to be involved in this relationship, I want to look at that, I want to touch that. All these things, I want, and there's a very powerful voice, and sometimes there's a very quiet voice, which says, I don't think you should be doing that. That's the Ish Chachamu Misken, that's the Yetzer Hatov, which is saying, no, you need to be doing the right things, but it's a quieter voice, and it's benachas, sometimes it's nishmaim, that we can overcome the powerful siege that the Yetzer Hara has above us as well. The Midrashim give multiple symbolisms, whether this refers to this world and the flood, and Noach was the Ish Miskenu who escaped, or in Egypt and how Paro was the king and the Bnei Israel escaped. All kinds of very fascinating applications of this. Nonetheless, this mashal seems to give space for a lot of ideas and a lot of interpretation. The general idea being that the Ish Misken, the quieter, the more silent, is over to overcome the more powerful, if we're just willing to listen. In the meantime, have a wonderful and meaningful day.